All right, this is The Wild Times, and we are back, baby. We are fucking back.
We are fucking back. Classic. Classic. We are back. We are back.
And we're the three best friends that anyone can have. And the three best friends anyone can have. We're the three best friends that anyone can have. And we'll never, ever leave each other.
What All the fuck right. was that?
What do you mean?
Me and Forrest were just riffing. What did you just do?
Yeah, where are you coming from?
What are you talking about? Dude, I was all over that. You guys were doing the hangover bit. Everybody has seen
What hangover bit? What are you talking about?
I've never seen that. What? I've never seen that film.
Never even heard of it.
Doogie, 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 doogie.
Oh, good.
Wild
good
times.
Evening, gentlemen. How are you?
Good.
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 Great.
Well, in case you're a new brosner good. Joining us tonight for the first time, we are not Ed Helms. Jesus.
Bradley Cooper. I am not Bradley Cooper.
And Zach Galifianakis. I know. It's hard to believe. You know, he's much shorter.
That's crazy.
You're way better looking.
Thank you.
But we are the broologist, the broducer, and the professor, bringing to you live from our offices, living rooms, and apartments, the Wild Times podcast, a show where we talk about everything that's topical in the wildlife world. We do a lot of bullshitting. We usually drink a little too much. Cheers, gentlemen.
Cheers.
And hang out. So I say we get right into it. Guys, what's going on? Tell any stories this week?
Well.
Yeah, so Forrest, I have a fucking great story. Okay. We talked on the last podcast about my friend who lives in Lake Arrowhead. Mm-hmm. And they had the flying fox
squirrel
in their toilet.
Yep, flying squirrel
flying
in the toilet.
Squirrel, sorry, in their
toilet. Flying fox. That's a giant bat creature.
The female, Kristen, who is pregnant, goes to... It's in the middle of the night. Apparently pregnant women pee a lot because things are pressing in on the bladder. You
heard
understand this.
This
as a...
Heard this.
As a bro, professor, I'm sure you know about this, Peter. and so she goes to the bathroom, middle of the night. It's dark, because why turn the lights on? Because then you're going to have to squint through the whole thing.
That's no good.
Flips the toilet up, sits upon it, and hears thrashing. The flying fox is back in her toilet.
No way. Second time.
Yeah. So clearly now they know there's an entry point.
Yep.
And that this fox...
Squirrel.
Like, this flying squirrel cannot stay away from the toilet. What the fuck is going on?
I honestly have no idea because the first time this happened, I was like, oh, what a fluke.
Must have had a lot of Taco Bell.
the squirrel got in, you know, it's ended up in the toilet and nearly drowned, right? Because you were texting me. She warmed it up on her belly. Like it was a whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's wild. I don't know what he's doing back there. Here would be my guess. That flying squirrel probably has a nest in the roof. In the wall, something like that, in that bathroom. Yeah, in that vicinity. And it's coming out, and the nearest water source is the toilet, and it's going for a drink, and it's sliding down the bowl. Mr. Clean is keeping it down there.
I think that's what's happening,
which, you know, that sucks for a couple of reasons, not just for the flying squirrel getting covered in poo-poo and pee-pee and toilet chemicals, but also for Kristen and Scott, whose house is infested with squirrels.
With flying squirrels. That's way worse than termites.
It is. Yeah, that's bad.
You don't want
that's
that.
Crazy. I can't believe that happened again. That's
termites.
Wild.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's insane.
So Forrest, what's up with you, man? You got a little trip coming up to the Baja Peninsula?
I do. Yeah, it's been have been good. They've been a little slow. I'm working on this I'm hosting this exposé on wet markets, and that's coming up soon. So that's been keeping me kind of busy, but overall things have just been slow with COVID. But Mexico is open. Baja is open, one of my favorite places in the world. And so me and a couple of my boys are jumping in the trucks and heading down there next Monday. We're just going to spend a week. We're going to load up the spear guns, load up the surfboards, just kill it for a week, you know, live on the beach, shoot some fish, grill it up, do some surfing, and just really bum it out. I'm looking forward to it. Well, you know what, guys? Yeah. I think it's time.
Love it.
For what's in the news.
What is in the news, man?
What is in the
what's
news?
Going on?
Well, you know what's funny? I've got something. It's not super topical. It's not like came out today, but it came across my desk for the first time in a couple years. Hey,
holy shit.
Hey, okay. Hey.
Take a drink.
Yep. Oh, yeah. There you go. Yeah.
Take a sip.
Is your pup? You going to introduce your pup?
This is Hoover. This is Hoover. He's now seven months old. He's a good boy.
What's up, Hoover? Look at Hoover.
He runs in and out of the office.
I love his name.
Yeah, get your butt out of here. He's great. We're doing some home projects right now, and he came to help me paint yesterday, and so his whole ass is covered in white paint, and that's not going away.
It sounds like he was helping a lot yeah. and made it fast.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, what's in the news?
He's becoming a man.
Patrick, you will remember this. Season 2 of Extinct You're Alive. I'm talking to Patrick. I'm talking to our partner, Eric. We're talking to the network. We're all signed off. Us guys, on our end, we're like, we're doing this fucking awesome expedition. We're going to go to New Guinea, not Papua New Guinea, the Indonesian side. We're going to trek through these bamboo forests, and we're going to look for this creature called the Wundawoi tree kangaroo. It's this epic tree kangaroo. It hasn't been seen since 1928. I mean, super remote. It's literally a kangaroo that lives in trees, Peter. Like, super weird animal.
That's fucking weird. Yeah,
super cool looking, everything.
Yeah
And we are I think we're five episodes into a 10 episode season, so halfway in episode number 7, meaning we were one expedition away from going to New Guinea. This news comes out, this headline: the first sighting of the animal since 1928. An amateur botanist named Michael Smith climbed 5,000 feet up into the mountains, the exact mountains where we were going to go, through dense bamboo thickets. And was like, you know, he's just like over there popping off photos of orchids and be like, this is a pretty flower. I'm a botanist. Oh, there's a weird animal. Click. Thanks, guy. Yeah. Thank you very much, Michael Smith, for ruining our entire expedition. Yeah. You son of a bitch.
You sound angry.
I mean, I'm not. I'm so stoked.
You're not happy.
No, I'm really not. I was so stoked that someone found the animal, because there was a huge question mark surrounding it. But he effectively canceled my trip to New Guinea that I've been looking forward to since I was, I don't know, 7. So, yeah, thanks, bud.
Yeah. But it's interesting that this is sort of the story has kind of been circulating this last week.
Nice. Nice.
Because it is a little bit older, but still very cool. I remember when it happened, and we had put a lot of the logistics were already in place for us to go do the trip. And we were going to pretty much the same area that he was in, and he was literally photographing orchids.
Yep.
And what a crazy! So, how long had the Wundawoi tree kangaroo been extinct?
1928 is the year that the animal was last seen. Yeah.
So we talked to Michael, Peter, because we were like, shit. You know, we had at that point done, I think, one episode. Maybe where the animal had been seen, but like it wasn't DNA. So we talked about maybe going and trying to collect DNA to officially prove that it was extant instead of extinct. And we talked to him about his journey, and man, he made it sound
like hell.
It was not easy. Yeah. It was not easy. And it was all for him in the name of taking pictures of rare orchids.
Right. And he
days and days of travel and handmade canoes to get across creeks.
More power
and rivers,
to him.
Didn't he say it was
hikes and
two weeks of slashing through bamboo to get up to the mountain peaks where the bamboo broke? So for 2 weeks they were just hacking all day long through bamboo, going, you know, less than a mile a day, basically.
Dude, he said there were some days where they only got 100 yards because it was so thick to get up to where they wanted to go.
Yeah.
And like, I mean, for our show, we already
that's
the way that we do Extinct or Alive.
Yeah,
we have such a small crew because we need time.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Forrest demands time because you know he's very important.
Like
he needs a lot of time to look for these animals, and that's usually not what happens on a production budget on a TV show.
Right.
But you know, when he was describing it, he's like, "Dude, there are going to be days where you're going to go like 300 feet." We're like, well, can't we just use your path? But yeah, it was pretty fucking cool.
Yeah.
Also very strange that a kangaroo lives in a tree.
Yeah, super, super cool animal. But yeah, I don't know. It's been circulating again. Got to look at another picture of the creature. I think it's awesome, but it's just a neat thing, and I just thought it was funny because this is like such an in the know thing, right? Like, who knows about the Wundawoi tree kangaroo? And it was like us probably nobody else, and then Michael Smith. So it was it was pretty wild. So yeah, it was pretty cool. But anyway, that's been floating around again. What about you guys? You seen anything in the news lately?
Oh yeah.
I mean, look, we
interviewed Nico,
mm-hmm.
Who was the cameraman who worked on everyone's favorite Netflix series this year, The Tiger yep. King.
Oh yeah.
And we've talked a bit about Carol Baskin, you know, we've touched on some things, but there were two other big characters on that show. Jeff Lowe, yep. who was the guy who was, like, seemed very skeezy.
He was leather jacket headband guy, right?
Yeah, exactly. And then Doc Antle, who had a similar setup in, I believe, South Carolina, mm-hmm. right?
He's the worst, by the way. I don't know where this is going, but he is, like, in my opinion, I'm like, why isn't this about Doc Antle? Like, he's been known for years. Like, there's been allegations of him, like, fumigating Tiger, like, Jesus. So people can take pictures. Oh, like, gnarly stuff. And anybody that's really in this wildlife world
him.
Knows he's bad. See, yeah,
I fucking
he's a bad...
hated him in the documentary. He's a very unlikable character.
Yeah.
I hope this is bad news about it.
So Doc was the one who had the Myrtle Beach Safari right. Park in South Carolina.
Right.
And there was some conjecture. Yeah, that's right. There was some conjecture on the show about Doc and how scrupulous he was when it came to the way he handled animals and stuff like that. And a lot of the series in Tiger King, he was defending himself when he was on mm-hmm. camera. Because obviously, this has been a thing, Forrest. So maybe since, Forrest, you seem to have a background with this, you'll be happy to know that he has been indicted on animal trafficking charges.
Good.
Oh, good.
I feel like it's not the first time, though. I don't know. I thought there had been many other lawsuits, and somehow he'd always slimed out of them. But, I mean, good.
Well, this is a criminal charge.
Yeah, so he's been indicted.
Trouble.
Yeah, animal trafficking. He's being accused of selling petting cubs.
Mm-hmm.
So I imagine that's domesticated cubs.
Yep.
Selling petting cubs on a black market. That's kind of a big deal. I don't know what an animal trafficking charge could do, but I imagine it's not taken very lightly.
No, and he's dealing in the trade of endangered species, right? So he goes against the Endangered Species Act. So tiger is obviously endangered species. Sorry, huge bird. Oh, a huge bird just flew down in front of my office. I think it was one of our peacocks, but I can't really tell. So
only on this fucking podcast.
Right. No,
only
so here. He is trading in endangered species. So that, you know, that's where it gets really crazy. Like, if I want to sell you a dog, right, you come buy a dog from me. Like, nobody needs to be involved. Like, it's not a big deal. I can have a puppy farm out the back if I want. I'm not promoting this, but I can because it's not an endangered species, right? Mm-hmm. I could, you guys know, you've been to my house. I could breed a million rabbits. Obviously, I don't. I breed two, but I could, and I could sell them as much as I like.
But they're the size of a million rabbits.
But
they're two giant
right.
rabbits.
But he's Let's dealing in tigers, chimpanzees, bears. Like, he's dealing in,
right.
first of all, things yeah. that can kill you, but secondly, endangered species. So you are not allowed to sell right. endangered species. That's the thing. You can gift them, as weird as that is in the law, but you can't sell them.
That is weird.
Yeah. Huh.
What the fuck is that about?
I don't know, to be honest. And honestly, I'm not big into the captive animal thing, so I don't really understand the laws. I don't really understand what's right and what's wrong other than my personal feelings towards it. But what I do know and what everybody in my field knows is Doc Antle is, you know, he's a bad character. Like, he's a super villain when it comes to wildlife trade. He's always been the mafia king, you know, with his 12 wives and his weird compound that's always got away with it. Like, he's like, this guy's the Pablo Escobar of fucking tigers. And it sounds like he's being taken down right now.
That is the vibe I got from him when I was watching the documentary. This guy's got, you know, multiple wives. He's essentially running a cult. And instead of drugs, he's got animals there, endangered animals. And dude, it is weird that you can gift endangered animals. I guess I kind of get it, though, because it takes out the incentive to, like, to breed and sell them for whatever reason it may be, because a lot of the animals are endangered for a reason, like, you know, whether their tusks or whatever is worth money. So I guess I kind of get the gifting thing, because otherwise you could just fucking breed animals and essentially send them to slaughter or whatever just to get whatever you're going to get out of them. I got one for you.
Sorry, guys.
I got one for you. For
is it. Going to be a fun edit, Peter.
Our dog just went running after whatever the weird huge bird is, and now we can't find our dog.
Oh shit.
Hold on. I'm gonna call him. Sorry, everybody that's listening. I'm gonna put on mute and call him pretty loud.
Well, we're just gonna wait until you're back. What are you watching? What game, Pat?
It's just the night game, the Rams 49ers. I got a bunch of shit going on DraftKings, man.
Is it a good game though, or is it just a shit game with good?
Oh, dude, good I didn't tell you. No, I couldn't give a fuck about the game. I didn't tell you about this, dude.
He's fine. He came running up with a huge smile on his face.
So, this probably is. No one cares about this for the podcast.
I'm here. Sorry, guys.
Right, I got one for you, Forrest. I got one for you, Forrest. I came across this in my Reddit feed, so I'm gonna look at my phone
on your desk.
But fascinating.
Came across the desk, right?
I didn't want to take a drink, so I didn't come across okay. my desk. Came across my phone, but apparently there's a species of snake that are capable of performing gliding flight.
Oh yeah,
with ranges up to 100 meters, and it's the I can't pronounce it, Chrysopelia genus of
the Latin name. I'm not sure. Yeah, that's a Latin name. But gliding snakes. Yeah, that's a real thing.
The fascinating part, though, they achieve it by leaping from branches and then sucking in their abdomen and flaring out their ribs, mm-hmm. turning their body into like a concave
like
wing.
A wingsuit. Yep.
I'm like, that's fucking Whoa. Crazy, dude.
And then if you see...
Tell me about
that. I mean, you nailed it, to be quite honest. But yeah, I caught one in Sri Lanka, and it's an incredible species. They're incredible animals. There's a handful of these gliding snakes. They used to call them flying snakes, but... They don't, you know, flap their little wings, so they're actually gliding snakes. But you
fucking terrifying, by the way. It, that thing you see.
And if you see it, like, have you ever seen a snake swim? Have you by chance ever seen a video of a snake, how it swims and the water kind of ripples?
Oh, yeah.
They do that in the air, which is incredible. So they climb up these trees. These are generally canopy-based snakes. I live up high in the canopy. And when they want to get from one tree to another for prey, they literally do exactly what you said. They coil up like they're in strike position. They launch themselves forward off of this branch, and they go from, you know, a perfect cylindrical, well, not perfect, but a round cylindrical snake, and they concave their body, flatten out their ribs, and they become flat, kind of like a paper airplane in shape. And then they swim in the air, just like like we're talking about swimming, to help them propel themselves from tree to tree. And it's bananas. It's incredible.
It's crazy.
And what's the use of that? Yeah. It's for finding more rodents. And
yeah,
stuff like
just
that?
It's just an evolutionary advantage to move from tree to tree without slowly, you know, finding branches to get between. And it's like one of those incredible things where Mother Nature was just like, "Here's a hole, like here's a niche. We need a snake that can fly. Let's." And then some snake was like, "I got you," you know, and just over evolutionary time figured it out. And I think they're super cool.
Imagine, Pat, imagine if you could do that. I mean, you would do it every day. You'd climb a tree.
If I could manipulate my own rib cage, I would just use it to suck my own
dick. Of course. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like Marilyn Manson.
Of course.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking. Yeah, I would move the rib cage out of the way and then just go to town.
I was thinking about holding that one in and then dropping it as a surprise in a battle royale, but I was like, this is too good. I need to actually hear about this forest.
They're super cool, man. They're just such
dude.
Yeah.
I was in the Florida Everglades, and we were taking this crazy souped up like buggy thing, and I was standing. It had a little flatbed in the back for gear, and I was standing in the back holding onto the guardrails, and we were just cruising through and smashing into all these trees. So I would duck underneath the cab of the buggy, and
that sounds safe.
All of a sudden, this. Fucking! I feel something on my head. I didn't used to wear hats. This is only a COVID.
This is a long hair thing.
And I feel something on my head, like thud. And I assume it's a branch. And I grab it. And for a second, I still think it's a branch. And it was a fucking snake.
No way.
That was about that was about this long.
And it had landed
on my fucking head that fell out of the tree.
No way,
dude. Nightmare. It
was, I still have like. Weird PTSD from this moment, and I was just like, "Oh God!" and just threw it out of this moving dune buggy. But imagine if a flying snake just like flew into your mouth.
Oh my God! Wait, Forrest, are they in groups ever? Or will you'll just see one? Would it ever be like you'll see 10 of them fucking coming down from a tree?
You know, who knows? The field of herpetology is so crazy. I think I've said this on the podcast before. Herpetologists in particular think they know everything when it comes to reptiles and amphibians, yeah. And they know probably the least. You know, as far as any video that I've ever seen, or as far as anybody knows, these are all solitary animals. I wouldn't be surprised if there were large congregations. You know, how many people are studying these incredibly elusive creatures at 150 feet up in the canopy every single second to be like, oh, it turns out 3 times a year they get into clusters of 10,000. You wouldn't even know, you know, like.
Yeah, that's such an interesting thing because you really don't think about the logistics of investigating certain animals. Like that's a fucking ordeal. Pain in the ass to like try and research that animal. Dude, wow, look how big
Luca's getting real big. Yeah, it's a nightmare studying some of them. Patrick, tell us about how Luca's training school ended up. Is she like just the most well-behaved creature on earth now?
It's pretty unbelievable how good these people are. So they train a lot of the dogs. So it's a shepherd training school. Mm-hmm. Luca. Right. Some shepherd.
Because Luca's your German shepherd.
Correct.
She's a halfsies. She's very small, though. And she's not trending to be the size of a full-grown German Shepherd. So
she takes after her dad.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. I'm very meager. But it's crazy. So they train a lot of the LAPD dogs. When we went for our consultation, they showed us some of the police dogs that they were training, and they did the whole thing with the bite suit, which was super cool.
That's cool.
And actually, the woman who owns the place. She was like, if you want to wear the bite suit, you could try it. I was like, the fuck no. I don't want to do it right now at 8 o'clock on a Monday. I know you would have done it.
Or ever.
I would have tried it for sure. Yeah.
Without the suit.
But it's pretty unbelievable. Like I don't know how they do this. She went basically to sleepaway camp Monday to Friday for 4 weeks. If I just say place, she immediately goes to her Christmas dog bed that I just bought. I'm very happy
nice.
About it.
Nice. Merry Christmas.
And lays down and waits and will wait indefinitely.
Oh, that's great.
It's really unbelievable. I mean, like we do trainings too. So we were doing 2 a week while she was there to like learn how to behave properly and do all the right stuff. But ultimately she's still the same fucking dog.
Right.
But she's a nutcase when someone comes over.
Right.
And that's I don't think that's ever going to change.
Right.
But it's the way that they manipulate animal behavior is so fucking impressive. Like you can YouTube it and Google it all you want.
Mm-hmm.
You're like a pro who does it, you know, 50 hours a week. Like it is crazy. Dude.
It's a serious thing.
It's one of those things too, where it's like you would think like that's kind of scammy or whatever, you know, but it's real. Like it's hard concrete. The fucking dog's behavior is changed. Like that's that. It's no foo foo bullshit.
And you have to speak dog, by the way. And like I'm not just, you know, like I love animals. We all know that a little bit. And I love my dog and I feel like I know what he's thinking a lot. I don't speak dog. You know, not the way that these animal trainers who do nothing but try and understand and manipulate their behavior 14 hours a day do. It's amazing.
Totally.
And I think it's the reason that like what was that guy's name? Cesar Millan, the dog whisperer. Was so famous, right? Like he legit spoke dog. Like if you watched him, you're like, oh shit, he just like the dog understands exactly what he wants at every single time he says it. Like it's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is. It's insane. I mean, it almost seems like a sixth sense superpower type thing rather than just but it's like dogs understand so much more than just they obviously don't understand the actual words you're saying, but they take cues from like your body language, your eyes, like everything. Yeah. You know?
They understand she understands my body language more than any friend or anybody that I know.
Oh yeah.
So like if she's if she's acting a fool, like when someone comes over, that's the time where her training essentially goes out the window. But if I do this thing where I furrow my brow, which I sort of just do all the time anyway.
Yeah, you did it to me at least 10 times during this podcast episode.
And then just stand up and just walk towards her. She knows. And she just goes, and just lays down. And is like, I'm fucking sorry. I'm sorry. And like, she just looks at me. The body language cues are incredible.
Now, did she do that before you went to to the train?
For sure. She always.
Oh, so yeah, she's always.
Sure. All dogs. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's instinctual for them, for sure. Yeah. So, Patrick.
Forrest, I.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No.
Because I just said something I needed to get your opinion on.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
Right. Let's hear it.
So.
Yes, sir.
All right. So, there's a series on Netflix. Mm-hmm. A docuseries called The Staircase.
Okay.
Right. And producer Will had watched the series, and he calls me. He's like, dude, I just rewatched The Staircase on Netflix. And it's essentially a crime mystery. So I was like, okay, we'll watch it. We've binged the whole thing this week.
Okay.
So it's
good.
It's a murder
yep.
story.
Okay.
Right? So it's this woman who falls down the stairs and dies, or they find her dead at the bottom of the stairs. Her husband is accused of murder, and it just fucks his life up. They think that she's been pushed down the stairs forcefully because of a series of events, whatever. But they find out that he didn't do it. He's wrongfully accused, etc. Towards the end of this show, one of the husband's attorneys reviews the crime scene evidence.
Okay.
And finds that there is a bloody feather in the wife's hair. What are your initial thoughts here?
What?
Yeah. So there's a blood. So clearly, right before he pushes her down the stairs, he's like, dips a feather in blood, sticks in blood, hair, and then dips gives it her
in
blood. Shove.
Is this in a house?
Yeah. It was inside their house. They were really rich. They were wealthy.
It's a big house.
Long staircase. Yeah. And they find her dead at the bottom. He's, I believe, being held without bail for her murder. Because they think she's been pushed because of the force. Or
I mean, did he beat her down the stairs with a pillow stuffed with rare exotic bird feathers? Like, I don't fucking know. Like, what?
No, there was only one feather with blood
did
on
he bludgeon
it. Just
her
one.
With a bird? I don't know, man. I don't know. This is bizarre. Like, I have no idea.
As if meticulously planted.
But here's the weird thing. This feather was from an owl. A barred owl.
Ooh. Interesting.
Ooh. A barn
owl. A barred owl. Yeah. B-A-R-R-E-D.
Oh, a barred owl.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's okay. From a right. barred owl.
So I might have a theory then.
Go for it.
Yes! Yeah. Look at that one piece of information has tipped him over.
Here's my theory. I haven't seen the show. I've never even heard of it. My theory, and Patrick's going to be like, no, that's stupid, or yes, you nailed it in a second, would be that maybe she got, like, big house. Owl flies in the window. She's at the top of the stairs, startles her. Maybe it even hits her. Who knows? Gets that close, knocks, you know, she goes flying down the stairs, dies obviously from the impact. Owl's fault, not the husband's. I don't know.
That is literally the theory.
Really? Is it really?
An owl, she may have suffered an owl attack or it flew into her head really fast. And insanely, in this particular area in North Carolina, there actually have been several documented owl attacks that have resulted in people's deaths.
No way.
Really?
I've heard of an owl attack resulting in death. I didn't even know that was a thing.
What? Well, are owl attacks in general, like, do they attack humans? Are they territorial?
I mean, obviously, a little bit. But, I mean, if you
right, a little
expert,
bit.
As a wildlife expert, you know, do you have anything to fear from an owl? I would say not unless you're a field mouse, you know, like, black. You know, have you ever seen an owl? Have you ever seen an owl and, like, turned and ran away? You know, you always go and check it out. Like, it's an owl. So,
yeah.
Really interesting. And
so this guy's sitting in jail.
I didn't even know
he's been out now. He's out now.
Oh, he's out now.
But okay. Yeah, so the prevailing theory that some people are positing is that this owl may have slammed into the back of her head, propelling her down the stairs.
Gnarly.
And that she died as a result, which... Look, we're all going to die someday. I'd like to be 90. I don't want to live to 100 because that gets creepy.
Gross.
But I'd like to, at 90, be murdered by an owl.
Yeah.
That sounds pretty good.
Way to go.
Really?
Yeah.
Nah.
Way to go.
I want to be taking a picture with my great-grandkids at the Grand Canyon, and I want an owl to fly into my head and knock you off the edge. Yeah.
Oh, God. Wow. That would be a great viral video. More viral than Kyle.
That's a crazy story, though. Death by owl. I didn't like, as a you know, just as a wildlife guy. If you ask me if there had ever been a death from an owl attack, I would say no. You know, maybe someone hit one with their car and veered off and died kind of thing, but no one's ever been killed by an owl. So that's really cool. Right. I mean, sucks for the guy, sucks more for his wife. Wild.
So Pat, let me ask you a question. In you watch this, so is he, if you didn't know anything about this guy watching like the footage of him, I assume they interview him or they show court footage or something, or he does some kind of interview. Yeah. Is he, would you believe him? Is he like shocked? Is he, I have no idea what happened?
He's not claiming, hey, this was an owl, but,
buddy's owl, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
These fucking owls.
Classic, all the typical reasons to think that it was him. Mm-hmm. There was life insurance involved. It seems that there was motive. You know, there are friends that testify that they were arguing. So it looks bad, you know? Yeah. But by the way, anyone who's been in a fucking relationship can attest to the fact that, like, who hasn't been arguing? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
who hasn't thought about throwing their better half down the stairs?
I mean, who hasn't thought about training
an owl? Right. There you go. But the life insurance thing is always, in my mind, a dead giveaway. If I was on a jury and they're like, they took out a $350,000 life insurance policy 3 months ago, like I don't know how I could get over it.
Let me ask you this. Is it a Final Destination thing where the second you take out life insurance, you're just a ticking time bomb? You know, it's just like, oh, he's got it. Like, might as well lose it now.
He's got it. It's on him.
That's part of the reason I've never done it. Like my accountant is always like, you need life insurance. I was like, I don't like thinking about that. So I'm just not going to do it. It's just creepy.
You got to leave it all to your cat.
split between Lemley and Luca. I learned a new animal fact today from producer Will. And that's hard to get these days. I'm not going to lie. Like I am a nerd in every sense of the word. I like to learn as many weird animal facts as I can. But producer Will came to me and said, hey, do you know about female moles growing testicles? I was like, excuse me? This is a real thing that I learned about this week. So it's not really what's in the news, but I think it's fascinating. I can tell you that when Will told me about it, he sounded like he was Kenny Powers, and that was pretty sweet. But yeah, so apparently,
what do you mean by that? Say it in how he told you.
Have you seen Eastbound and Down?
I have, but I don't think our listeners have. So I want.
No, I can't do it. I'm not. Patrick could probably do it. There's no way.
All right.
I don't have enough white trash DNA in me. No, I don't mean he sounded like Kenny Powers. It just sounded like a Kenny Powers line. Look. All that aside, what I found out was that, and I found this really interesting, female moles will develop testicles that grow on their ovaries, even though they kind of produce sperm. And what they do is they harness these male sex hormones so that when another female comes to fight them, they get this adrenaline rush and pull testosterone from the nads, basically, to fight.
Whoa.
Yeah. Wow. Which is insane. It's like they have this reserve.
That is
these
insane.
Reserve balls full of testosterone. So as soon as they're confronted with a snake or another female or anything, they're just like switch into fucking beast mode, get this flood of testosterone and just go ham on their counterpart, which is pretty nuts.
Pat could have used a set of those when he shit his pants when he got in that fight back when he was.
We could all use a set of extra testicles. Let's be honest.
I pissed.
Oh, sorry. I thought you shit yourself when wearing wearing white short shorts.
I've never shit myself.
Anyway, that's what I like to
envision. Madagascar ever.
Where we all did.
Even when I was a baby, my mom was always like, "Where does the shit go?"
Just evaporates inside of your
just
stomach.
Just running at 100% efficiency at all times.
Exactly. So, Forrest, we were watching. This is our insane Saturday afternoon. We were taking a little break, and we went down a little YouTube wormhole yesterday.
Mm.
And we were watching Alaskan brown bears, male Alaskan brown bears having territorial fights during mating season. So picture two, you know, 1,300 to 1,600 pound bears that are 5 feet at the hump when they're standing on all fours.
Monsters.
And they stand up on their back feet and they fight. And one after the next, I mean, they fight, like there's a lot of them and they just battle royale fucking fight. And all the fights essentially look the same, in which these two massive bears with incredibly powerful jaws, they essentially bite each other. Usually their mouths, they first latch onto each other's mouths and then they sort of make their way over to like the cheek of the other bear and they hang on and they wrestle their heads around.
Oh.
Where each bear is essentially biting the other one's cheek, right?
Sounds brutal.
And so we're watching these fights and usually they last for a minute or 30 seconds and then they kind of stop and then both bear sort of stand on all fours and just drool and kind of move their jaws around for a bit. And it's like this aftermath and you see fur flying and everything. But we were like talking about like how hurt is the bear there? Like, is that a, obviously it's not deadly because they go on to survive for a while, but are those like catastrophic injuries that they're suffering in the name of like territory?
It can be. So what you're seeing when you see those two mouths open and kind of interlock is it's a threat display. It's them showing off their teeth to say, this is how bad my weapons are, right? It's like two gangs standing on either side of the alley, holding their knives, being like, you really want a piece of this? It's a little more intimate, obviously, because they're right there. But what you don't see is one bear taking the other bear down and ripping it to shreds, right? Like they both back off, which is when they're standing around drooling and all of that. So they're really more like the two guys in the bar that are pushing each other and nobody's throwing the punch. You know what I mean? They're just like, what do you want, bro? What do you fucking want? You know what I mean? They're kind of just sizing each other up and pushing each other without really throwing the punch. And the punch, you know, when you see a bear, I don't know if you guys saw this insane video of this brown bear taking down this elk in Yellowstone like a week, 2 weeks ago. You see what a deadly strike looks like. You know, they go for the jugular, they go for the throat, they have the claws out, and it is fucking brutal. And that's the difference. You know, they're not trying to actually murder each other. They're just sizing each other up.
Yeah.
And it does escalate, just like in humans. Like, you know, one guy pushes too hard and the other guy goes, oh, now you're fucking getting it, you know, and it does escalate. And that's where animals get hurt. Like those jaw bites and things, those bits of fur flying, they'll get scratches, they'll get bad infections. And that's where you see animals with broken jaws and animals with, you know, missing an eye and all of that. It's like the fight escalated and that's where it stopped. Yeah. But there's a big difference between that kind of fight and the legitimate fight to the death, which is like, this is my meal that I need to kill and eat. And that's kind of the difference. Right. So it's still gnarly, don't get me wrong, but it's not that like I'm here to kill you kind of fight.
So they walk away from these fights. Obviously it hurts because, you know, if a brown bear bit my cheek, I am probably going to bleed out and die. But they go on to maybe have some sex.
For sure. Yeah. One of them's
well, they are French
one
kissing.
One of them's taken off going, fuck, that sucks. Like I'm hurt. You know, they're like walking out of a boxing match going, I lost, you know, but they're not dead. You know what I mean? It's like being in an MMA fight, like the guy who loses, both of them suffer right after the MMA fight, but the guy who lost definitely suffered more. And so it's kind of like that. Like they're both walking away, but it was not fun for anybody.
What a rough world.
Yeah.
Man. What a
tough
rough
world.
Yeah.
World.
Guys, there's more in the news about aliens.
Uh-oh.
You know, I love aliens.
Tell us.
Is this going to be about octopus or what?
Well, I mean, there's going to be a little diatribe on the side about octopus. But so in a podcast or two ago, they had discovered, I believe, there was some kind of gas or some kind of element that typically only exists with animal activity. I think it was on Venus. I can't remember exactly. But anyways, now they have detected an amino acid, glycine, in the atmosphere of Venus, which again hints at the presence of life on the planet. So, I mean, I feel like we're getting pretty close to disclosure here.
What's your theory, Peter? I know what it is, but for the brosners, what is your theory? Where did octopus come from, Peter? Tell us.
Well, from Venus. But, I mean, I was going to say, though, this is what reminded me that I had saved this, was that I was watching My Octopus Teacher, which everybody should watch, but I know you guys found it to be incredibly boring and slow-paced, but the footage of Octopus has 100% certified my belief that octopus are aliens. Good, huh? There is, dude, this, the footage, they turn, they can switch their entire body into a fucking rock. They can like, they'll like gather an entire cornucopia of shells and rocks to essentially camouflage themselves. And I mean, dude, like, and they have like feelings. These things are aliens, and they probably come from this glycine on
there.
Venus.
You go. I do want to watch My Octopus Teacher. And let me be clear. I tried it. I was not in the right frame of mind for it. You know what I mean? And I like threw it on. 5 minutes went by and I was like, bored. Next. I need to like,
it's very,
I need to like sit down and commit to it. But they're, I mean, are they going to take over the world, Peter? What do you think? Is this 2022? Or are we talking octopus emperors or what? They're smart enough.
I think they have a little bit. They're too skittish. Like, they're not territorial. So I don't think they're going to take over the world because they're only looking for food and hiding.
That's just what they want.
That's what they're doing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I don't know, man, but I love him, especially after watching that dude. This guy's got this octopus. It's literally suctioning to his arm. They're like essentially doing a dance in the fucking sea. Yeah. This thing has like they have an emotional attachment to each other. And watching this octopus essentially, it essentially was like having it was almost like watching a pet dog or like, you know, a pet be like loyal to someone, but it's in the ocean. And it's like showing this guy its world and what it can do and where it goes and how it gets food and how it like protects itself. And it's fucking fascinating.
So you're saying for the Brosners that are interested that despite the fact that the show or this the limited series, I'm assuming My Octopus Teacher on Netflix is slow.
Just one,
like a movie? Like a feature?
Just one. Yeah, one documentary.
So it's worth watching it because the behavior that you'll get into if you can get through the slowness at the beginning is amazing.
Do you 100% fast forward the first 10 minutes where you're just getting the guy's backstory and he's sitting there in a chair talking to the camera? Because that's what lost me. Like, I just sat there and I was like, I want to do something cool. And then it's a guy literally just as boring as we are right now, sitting talking in a chair. And I was like, all right.
Listen, we're not boring, but you can definitely skip that part. You don't have to be attached to this guy. I mean, it's all about fucking this octopus.
Because I don't want to watch that, Peter.
Fucking this octopus. So I put the correct emphasis on the right syllable.
Not better. So. Okay.
So just real quick, Forrest, back to the bear thing. It's made me think, because I was thinking, okay, what is this driven by? Because these bears don't hate each other. Obviously, it's
got to be.
They just know, hey, I've got a mate. I got to fuck. This thing's coming in. I want to fuck here. It's all testosterone, right?
Competition.
So a buddy of mine, he's another TV producer. He's like, he's in his mid-40s and he's done having kids. And he's a big fan of Joe Rogan. Mm-hmm. And Joe Rogan talks a lot about testosterone replacement therapy. And so this dude, he was like, you know what? Like, I'm going to try it. Like, I work out, but I'm getting older. My metabolism's slow and my mood's like not as good. So he recently started doing it like 4 months ago.
Okay.
And we were talking about it and he's like, dude, he goes, I've changed nothing. It's like, I always eat kind of healthy, but I drink wine.
Yep.
I always work out pretty good, but not insane. He's like, I have a six pack.
No way.
he lifts up his shirt and he legit has a six pack. He's like, I don't know. He's like, I haven't had a six pack since I was 20. And he's like, and the other thing is, he's like, I find every woman I see, like, I'll look at women that like normally I wouldn't. And I'm like, look, I'm like, she smells great. Like, he's like, it's literally like I'm in grade school with boners.
I remember that.
And he said he also is like, he's having to control the urge to fight.
Yeah. Like, I remember
like,
that.
Like, I'm like, it's wanting to catch
22. Dude, everything you just said was me in college. Like,
this is like a 45. Yeah.
I would go to a party and be like, I have to do one of two things tonight. I have to fuck something or fight something. Like, those are my options. Like, I have no other options.
Sure.
Yeah, every single night. Yeah.
It's right.
Jeez.
It's so crazy to think about, though, how much the chemicals within our body and our, what are they called?
Hormones?
What's testosterone?
Testicles?
Yeah, hormones. Mm-hmm. determine our mood and our how our brain thinks. Like, we think we're in such control of our reality. And it's like, the reality is, like, you can take a supplement and it completely changes how you feel.
Yeah, of course. I've thought about that many times, just having experimented in drugs, thinking about, like, wow, like, I am no longer, you know, afterwards, I'll be like, I was not even on Earth. Like, I was like, I don't even know what the fuck was happening. I was floating in the universe. And then, like, when I would really think about it, I would be like, I was legitimately not a physical, like, being anymore. And then you come back and you get into reality. But, dude, chemicals can just, I mean, your brain is just chemicals fucking firing signals everywhere.
And you know what's really amazing? Do you know how you make a hormone?
No.
You don't pay her.
In a lab?
Oh, yes. My God. No, that is. We just lost every.
You should have 10 kids tomorrow because that's a good dad.
Thank you.
Nice.
No.
Hey, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, you know, I was just going to say one more thing on that topic that I don't know. Like, maybe I should listen to more of Joe's shows because I don't know about this, but this whole new trend of, like, putting testosterone back in your body, there's a reason we run out of it, right? Testosterone is an extremely corrosive hormone. Like, it's the reason you get your dog fixed, you chop off his balls, is so that he's healthier and lives longer because he doesn't have more testosterone. He's not going to fight or fuck everything. So being, you know, guys in our 30s and 40s, 50s and 60s, however old your buddy is in his 40s, I don't think you're supposed to be at 100% testosterone at that age. Like, that is, don't get me wrong, you're going to feel great. You're going to want to fuck things. You're going to want to fight things. Your muscles are going to get juiced. But I think, and I'm, this is not my area of expertise, I think your hair is going to fall out more. Like, you're going to age quicker. Like, it's a very, very corrosive thing. Like, there's a reason we spike when we do, and we peak with that chemical, that hormone, and then it drops off. It's because you need it to get there, to grow, to make it. And then it levels off so that your body can, you know, like, mellow out. Like, it's like being on caffeine 24/7, right? Like, you're going to crash. You're going to run out of energy. So I don't really know how testosterone, treatment works, but I know this is, like, a big trend now where people are getting more of it. Joe Rogan's doing it, your buddy's doing it, they're like, they're bringing your levels back up to 100% of what your body can sustain.
Yeah, to when you're 20 years old.
Yeah, but I don't think that's good for you. Like, do you remember, like, you were just talking about how it changes your mental state, right? How fucking years old, you know what I mean?
Like,
that's because of the chemical in your brain.
It's almost like it overclocks your body. I mean, when you're that age, I mean, a lot more of your time and what you're doing in life is in your brain and your mind. You're figuring out problems. You're whatever you're doing, you're not physically, like, going and punching somebody in the face anymore when you're 40. Like, you know, your body is physically is good, you know, and testosterone might give you the more energy that you feel good, but I mean, you're probably right, dude. Nothing comes without a consequence when you're fucking around with nature.
When you hear Joe Rogan describe it, he was saying, he was doing, sharing an anecdote. It was like, he's like, you go to, like, a hotel pool and, like, it's like a nice hotel. You're on a vacation. You go to the hotel pool. He's like, you look and there's, like, a 60-year-old guy who's, like, got his BLT resting on his belly while he reads his Kindle.
That's and, like, me. His and wife, I'm only 37.
His wife is atrocious and they're not talking. Yep. He's like, and then there's always me. Like one 60-year-old guy who's, like, in great shape. His eyes are glowing.
Yeah.
And he's like tossing his, like, 38-year-old wife, like, into the deep end of the pool, and they're laughing and cheersing. He's like, that's the guy who's on testosterone replacement. I was like, when you put it like that, shit.
Yeah, that sounds fantastic. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, maybe I'll try it one day.
Have you guys seen pictures of Jeff Bezos, you know, the owner, CEO, guy who created Amazon from back in the day? He used to be this meager, like, hunched over nerd at, like, a desk. And now he's, like, got the shaved head. He's like a bionic man.
Yeah, he swallows.
Yeah, he's like, you know, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm wondering, did this guy just, does he just have enough time on his hands now because he's a billionaire? Or is there something, is he getting some help? Like, dude, I mean, better than steroids.
There's zero chance. I think all those people, and this is me being a skeptic, I think all those guys that are in that level of wealth, especially in Hollywood, they're all getting like HGH treatment, you know, human growth sure. hormone treatment, testosterone.
Sure,
treatment.
Yeah.
You know, on top of that, they have dietitians, skin, yeah, everything. They're spending, and they don't have to do anything, right? They just write a check. So it's right. like all like, hey, take this pill. Hey, show up here for 10 minutes. Like, it's not like it takes up their whole lives. It's just they write a check and they feel and look invincible.
Oh, dude, Mel Gibson has talked yeah. about his like 90-something-year-old father had some chronic condition, and he paid a couple $1 million. They went to Panama, where you can do this thing where you get stem cells from like baby placentas or whatever the fuck
right.
injected in. And he's like, 5 years later, like, my dad is acting like he's 60 again. He's 95 now.
Right.
You know, I Dude, think when there's yeah. a lot of money mm-hmm. and you have a lot of interest in maintaining your love, like if Jeff Bezos just realized like, hey man, I'm waking up and I'm still sleepy. He's yeah. going to talk to someone and be like, yeah, how much is it? $1 billion? Yes.
yeah.
Let's take my private jet to Panama, like literally fly there today. Get this. Dude, it's interesting though that you bring that up because, you know, Trump recently had COVID and yeah. It's a hot button issue because
3 days.
The therapy that he used was stem cell shit. And I was like, it's so ridiculous. I'm not going to get into politics or anything, but you know, like a lot of his base are kind of these evangelical Christians who don't believe in abortion and all this stuff. And the guy, you know, that's the whole reason why we don't have the stem cells here in the US is because of this kind of movement that is anti-abortion and they think it's murder and all this stuff. And here he is. And he's fucking better in what, 2 days?
Well,
like 3 days?
Crazy, yeah.
And this isn't pretty a new thing, crazy. By the way. Like, remember Magic Johnson had AIDS and then he didn't? You know what I mean? Like, he just bought his way out of AIDS somehow. You know what I mean? It's
yeah.
like, this isn't a
like
new,
the first one. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like not really a new thing. Like, money, you know, the technology just keeps advancing and money can, you know, this is going to upset some people. I don't give a shit. Look at those Kardashians. Like, they're fucking heinous looking people. But they have so much money.
Except me. I love it.
Like, you look, pull up a picture. They're fucking gorgeous. They have bought those looks. Like, Kim Kardashian.
Oh, my God. Like I know.
Six, I think it's Kim. I don't know which one it is. But one of them's changed faces like four fucking times.
Khloe.
That's Khloe.
Khloe looks completely different.
Kim was always very pretty, objectively. Khloe was not.
No.
And she's completely, she has a different head. Like,
yeah, it's
not
fucking
head.
You can't even recognize
that's what
her.
I'm saying. Like, yeah. Anybody that thinks money doesn't buy beauty, like, that, there's your case study right there. Like, that was a piglet.
Yeah.
Now she's gorgeous. You know what I mean?
There's nothing wrong with that. It's just the way that it is, and that's the way it's going to be. But it is interesting because the Kardashians, I don't even know. She's a billionaire. If she didn't pay with a couple when she had a few million to get that beautiful face of hers, she never would have made it to billionaire status.
Probably, yeah.
I'm just saying.
But the point is just accept it, right? Like, don't like. For me, that my point of bringing that up is like, accept that money can buy beauty because it can in this day and age. Like,
sure.
This whole like, oh, don't objectify and like, don't, you know, it has nothing to do with their finance. Like, it does. It has everything to do with their finance. Like, it doesn't matter what you look like. Money can buy beauty in today's day and age. And that's bizarre.
And youth.
It is weird.
Apparently.
It is weird. I will say it's so nice not caring.
Like, yeah.
Forrest, totally. You have to be on camera. So like probably to some extent, like that's probably why you're working
him?
Out
he
7 days
care.
A week.
Wait, him?
Yeah, but he works out literally every
look
single
at him.
Day.
But look at him.
But man, when you just don't care, like I just don't care about how I look anymore. I literally stopped caring probably 3 years ago. And
yeah,
it's just
we can tell.
Wonderful. It's so great when you just go, I'm done.
Yeah,
my looks are no longer going to get me anything ever again.
It's funny because like I stopped caring 35 years ago. I'm 37. And, but Pat, honestly, I've known him since I essentially moved to LA and he would fucking just really razz me about things. I remember I had a dark tooth cause my tooth was chipped and it was slowly dying and it was dark. And, he just kind of smugly one time said to me, he goes, you know, it's probably preventing you from getting gigs. Cause it's like, you know, whatever you said, people don't want to talk about it, but like, you know, they notice that shit. But like he was always very vain and he made me switch stuff up, which is a good thing. And I appreciate it.
The tooth was a monstrosity. And it really was.
But my clothes, dude, everything I used to wear. I remember I'd come out to the car. hold on. I'd come out to the car, like out of my apartment building. Pat would be picking me up or whatever. And he just like looked me up and down with like a smirk, and I'd get in the car and I'd be like, what's so funny? Like, and he literally was just like judging the fuck out of me. And it's funny to hear him say now, like, I'm proud of you, man, that you don't give a shit
Thanks,
anymore.
Man, I appreciate that.
I'm getting better looking. You are a fart face.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You said it.
Hey guys, it's time.
Hold on. Not yet. It is time for something, Pat, even though erroneously tried to make it time for what it is not.
All right. Conspiracy theorist.
It is time for Fact or Fiction, gents. Yes. We haven't done it in a couple episodes.
Oh, it's a favorite. Yes!
Today's episode will only involve me and Forrest, so Pat, mute your mic. No, I'm just kidding.
I scared the shit out of my dog.
She was so
super
excited.
Sad. She's like protecting me now. I'm sorry.
All right, gentlemen. As always, Pat will guess first because he knows nothing. Forrest is an animal expert, so he will guess last.
Okay.
Then I will tell you who's right. This game's simple. I tell you a fact or a fiction, and you tell me if it is fact or fiction.
Okay.
Here we go.
Let's do it.
First one, the word anaconda originated from Tamil language. Anaconda, meaning elephant killer. Is this a true statement or bullshit that I made up myself?
All right, so I'm supposed to go first.
Interesting.
And here's the thing. I don't know anything about what Tamil is, or whether an anaconda could kill an elephant, or whether some people may have thought they could. But I'm going to say it's fact, because I don't think your brain is capable of that level of creativity.
That's a good reason.
Fair enough. Fair enough reason.
I'm torn, and I'll give you my answer at the end of explaining why I'm torn. First of all, anacondas and elephants do not coexist. Anacondas live in South America. Elephants live in Africa and India. Tamil is an Indian language, right? Or it's an Indian people, so I assume it's an Indian language. But anacondas live in South America. So I'm going to go fiction? Yeah, I'm going to go, but I know anaconda has also been used as like a slang term for big snakes. But then how would it get to South America? No, fiction. That's bullshit. No way. No way. Okay. How are anacondas an elephant killer? No, that's nonsense. Two different animals, two different continents.
I like this. We have two different outcomes, two different guesses here. Well, only one is right. And unfortunately, it's Pat.
Oh.
Pat is correct. There's no way I could have come up with such a complicated thing.
It's very elaborate.
Forrest, you know, you're thinking a little too biology brain here. There's no
Forrest,
way.
Tamil don't language. Use biology. Just think of what Peter's primitive brain is doing.
Yeah, totally.
All right, what's next? What do we got? Number two, I'm winning.
That's a good one.
Well, so it's a little unfair. Herring fish communicate with each other by synchronized farting.
Fiction. Fuck off.
I know the answer to this one. It is they do.
That's why you answer second.
They do release gas bubbles that help them communicate how far to be away from each other. This one is fact.
That is correct. It is indeed fact. Forrest has already explained it. They synchronize fart bubbles and they know what they're talking about.
Dude, that makes me feel bad that like
you should.
People eat herring, like kippered herring. Like it's like sort of a garbage fish that like people eat. Are they intelligently farming?
No. They're low down on the food chain. It's just like, it's not communicating like, you know, like I'm going to Morse code fart to you and tell you what I'm talking about. It's more just like when I let out this much gas run or this much, you know, it's how would I explain this? Like letting out gas means food or it means swim this way. It's very like instinctual. It's not like, you know, clever farting.
Do other fish
clever farting?
Do other species do this or is the
a couple? It's not necessarily all farting. That's kind of a broad term, but yeah, a couple species do communicate through like gill flare, through releasing gas. You know, most of them are through like lateral lines and things like that, but it's how, you know, fish don't just swim into each other, right? Like if you see a school of fish, they're all perfectly synchronized. They're
right.
That's like basically that's to do with lateral lines a lot. But the point is they're doing that without their brains even really registering that they're doing that.
Incredible. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Incredible.
Very.
Synchronized farting. Bonobos. All right, 1-to-1. 1-to-1. Bonobos.
Now listen, I'm going to give you guys a hint. It took me a while to word this correctly.
Okay.
You be the judge of what that means. Okay. But bonobos.
Bonobos.
Are famous.
Sure, bonobos.
Famous again. Sexual bonobos. Bonobos. Are famous sexual deviants. They have orgies and they share partners. They even have anal sex. Some have even been known to have foot fetishes.
Okay, so this is true. And the reason I know this is because there's a very famous book. And by the way, Forrest, you should be judging whether this is fact or fiction.
Oh, there you go.
there's a famous book about bonobos' sexual activity. Mm-hmm. They're often referenced by I know it's like therapists and psychoanalysts will talk about bonobos because they have all this interesting sexual and mating behavior. They're super unique. I don't know about the fact that they're into anal and dildos or whatever you said, but I'm going to say this is true, whatever you've said. And speaking of foot fetishes, for those watching on YouTube, we do have a YouTube channel.
Oh,
Peter's
God,
feet have been very much on display.
Well, dude, that's you should have told me that. You should have told me that
beautiful feet
hours ago. No, they're terrible. Nobody wants to see that. God, now I got to cut it out.
You're forgetting the fact that we have animal people on here, and any of those animal people are maybe in the crossover space, and you have the feet of an elephant. You know, they're just broad and flat and very
scrappy. My girlfriend watches this podcast, and she will throw up if she sees my feet. Right.
I mean, honestly, your feet look great.
It looks they're like not.
You have a big budget for pumice stone.
Big pumice budget.
Sorry, Forrest.
All right. No, we're good.
Forrest, are bonobos famous sexual deviants?
So that's the thing. They are. Bonobos are famous sexual deviants. The part I don't believe in your story is that they have foot fetishes. I totally believe they're going holes the goal. Like, they are sexual deviants, but I just don't know about the foot fetish. That being said, I'm going to err on the side of true. I know what Patrick's talking about. I know that they're sexually super crazy, and I wouldn't be surprised if one was J.O. into a foot. So I'm going to go true.
J.O. into a foot. Sadly, my friends, you've both gotten it wrong.
What part was false? All of it?
The whole thing. It's all made up. I don't even know where you came up with the...
No, it's not all made up. It's for sure they have... They definitely have orgies.
Okay, it was a trick. They don't have foot fetishes.
Okay.
Just kidding.
Oh, okay. So, you know what it is? You know what it is with what the book is about?
False.
Is that bonobos have a lot of casual sex.
Yeah.
So they casually have sex without the intent of mating.
No orgies, no partner, no anal sex, and no foot fetishes.
Okay. They're
very interesting.
You're getting better at this game, by the way, Peter. Like, when you create these.
Listen.
Like, pretty good.
Well, this is actually a... Will helped quite a bit.
Oh,
with the,
well, that would make more sense. Yeah.
Also, there's a large amount of...
I'm delivering it perfectly.
There's a large amount of gay bonobos. So there's a large amount of homosexual activity within the bonobo.
Nothing wrong with that.
Community.
That's
we do know that the gays are a lot more sexually... they like to do a lot more experimentation with their sexuality.
And no,
is that science?
Yeah.
Is that not true?
Is that science?
I'm friends with many gay people, and they listen. If you're a male,
I wish I was gay, but I still don't think
males like to have more sex. I guess I don't mean gay. I'm saying male.
Peter, you are digging up. Like, you're not going to climb out of my friend.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? Is this somehow not politically correct? I don't
somehow.
Care.
Somehow it's not.
Okay.
I can't understand it.
The score right now is Pat -7 to Forrest 1. Our third question. After mating. Fourth question. After mating.
And final, hopefully.
Fourth and final question. After mating, female black widow spiders ceremoniously weave the penis of their mates into their webs to ward off further male suitors.
Little trophy on the wall.
Well, yeah. Like in Game of Thrones when they spike the heads down the fucking... Yep.
Patrick, you're up.
He looks... I don't even know. Are you alive? Or are you awake?
No, this is a tough. This is a very tough. Look, this is an important one because it's the final one.
It's very important.
That's false. I just don't think they do that. That's calories in, calories out. It's too many calories to weave the head. And no.
Too much effort. Okay. Yeah, all right. So. Interesting guess.
Forrest, are you Googling, you son of a bitch?
No, I thought you were Googling. I thought that was what the delay was. I'm not Googling. That would ruin the game for me.
So the actual animal expert who knows what he's talking about
also thinks it's full Forrest. For zero actual reason. I've just never heard of this. I've never heard of weaving in a display penis on a web as a way to be like, hey, get out of here. There's a chick in my house.
I'm so sorry, gentlemen, but you are correct. It's false.
Oh, okay.
Good job.
Good setup there. Yeah, good setup.
Oh, but we tied. That's the problem for us. We tied.
Yeah. So we're going to do one tiebreaker.
Oh, tiebreaker. There you go.
We have a tiebreaker.
All right. I'll let Forrest go first, and I'll take whatever's the opposite answer for us.
That's not how it works.
No one likes a tie. No one wants a tie.
Forrest.
Yeah.
We'll be answering second. Patrick, hippos naturally produce their own sunscreen. True or false?
I know it's true. I was just telling Christina about this yesterday. That's what makes their skin pink.
He's right.
Forrest.
He's right. Sorry.
Just say false.
Sure. False. I lie.
All right. All right. It's a draw. It's a draw.
All right.
Because that was the only.
We had a draw. Hey, Peter, you are getting good at this. I think the listeners, brosners, and viewers love this segment.
That's fun.
Great.
I like
but it. It is. It's fun. Everybody can play along.
The
it's
one
good.
That they love the most.
Oh, boy.
Is coming your way. Battle!
Did you just burp into the mic?
Someone just
battle! No, I went. I have a very deep voice. It's hard to hear.
Christ Almighty, right. Get it out!
Forrest and I were brought a TV project that we decided not to work on, but we were brought this project. It was about sort of conspiracy theories that involved animals and all sorts of crazy shit. But one of the things, and so we did some research on it, is. A fascinating conspiracy theory that many birds that you see when you're outside aren't real.
Yep.
They're actually tiny drones that are spying on us.
Birds are government drones. This is a real thing. Look, I swear to God, Peter, next time you take a walk in your neighborhood, you know those like posters that people put on telephone poles that are like, hey, I lost my cat?
Yeah.
Pay attention to them. There will be one that says pigeons are fake. I guarantee it. They're like all over LA.
So
hey, it's not a bad idea.
There's some historical credence to it because it was actually a proposed thing that went all the way to the president of the United States at the time. I can't remember. I think it was in the 50s. But it was to use to hide little cameras in birds. To spy on people during the Cold War. And it was actually proposed. Okay. The CIA was involved. It's this whole thing. It's really interesting. They made a prototype.
Did you just fart again, bro? Sorry. Okay.
Spindrift and vodka. And it's very bubbly. But anyway, so the idea was that birds are bullshit, right? They're not a real thing.
All birds are bullshit. Yeah. Okay.
So, I believe very much that birds are real and that owls are killing women.
Oh, God.
Here's the idea. You are.
Ooh.
You are in charge of the CIA. You've just been promoted, Forrest, Peter, and myself. We've all been promoted. Yes. And we're competing because whoever does the best at this program is going to become the guy. We're going to get the key to Area 51. We're going to get all the info.
Nice.
Okay.
We're going to do a spying program because we want to see what everyone's doing, all the citizens in America. We want to spy on everybody. We need to know what they're doing.
Yes.
If they're talking bad about Trump or Biden or whoever's president, you got to know.
Okay.
We have $50 billion of a budget.
Great.
To create.
It's a big budget.
Spy animal robots.
Love it. Love it.
That are going to indiscriminately spy on anyone we wish. We can control them the way that you can fly a drone.
Great.
What animals would you choose? We each get three. It's going to be a snake draft. Whoever creates the best spy force wins
Makes
the snake
sense.
Draft, and the
birds are
listeners
out.
Will be glad.
Pigeons are out.
Pigeons are out. Birds, no birds. Can't have birds.
No birds. Okay.
All right. Ritep, you're up first. Okay. Let's give you the first one.
Go.
So this means, just to clarify, in a snake draft, I've never done one before. I get one pick.
You take one pick and then two at the
yes.
end.
Okay. This is right in my wheelhouse. This is probably the easiest battle royale decision I've ever made. The second you said it, I knew what I was picking.
What do you have?
And I'm picking head lice.
It's going to be a very small camera.
It is a very small
camera. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Head lice. They can go anywhere. Like, thousands of them.
But a single like shampoo wash, and that's the end of your 50 bill, or at least a third of your bill.
They can live. They don't just live in hair, mate. They can live outside of hair. They can live in
pubes,
hair fibers, on animals. Pubes. They can go anywhere. They're very versatile. Listen to me.
Okay.
If I was able to actually do this, I mean, you just have no chance. I'm sorry. Whatever you're going to say, it doesn't even matter. I've taken the best creature, feature, guess. Good luck.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
All right.
See what's going on here?
Well, that's something. That's something. Okay.
Forrest,
I got
just take,
next.
Forrest, take a look at what's going on here.
Lem, what happened to your leg?
She dislocated.
Oh my God.
She dislocated a toe.
Hold on. So for everybody who's not watching, Pat's cat just came into the frame. Go to YouTube right now. Look up this episode.
Yeah.
I got to say, when you told me Pat was supposed to do something for the podcast and I asked him about it and he said, it's an emergency. I'm at the vet. Can you do it? And I literally just didn't answer because I was so annoyed. And I totally 100% thought he was lying. And then just, I literally just didn't even.
What happened?
The cat broke its leg.
I live in this 4-story townhouse that's very vertical. There's stairs. She's constantly, it's fucking 12, 13-year-old cat. I don't know how old she is. But she jumps off the shit. She's constantly doing stuff. And she was limping really bad. And I took her to the emergency vet. And they said that one of her toes on her paw was pointing due sideways, completely broken and dislocated. So now she's trying
Jesus.
To tear it off right now. Stop it,
dude. You know what I love though about cats? I mean, she's essentially 250 in human years, and this is her first injury. she's been.
It's
fine.
Her. The most recent vet visit was when she was 6 months old and she got spayed. So anyway, sorry that my cat with a yellow cast on
its okay though.
Just derailed. So Peter has head lice spying on all
yep.
of America.
Head lice.
Forrest, what do you
spying
got?
Spying on everyone. Microphones and cameras.
You gave me a nice segue there, because what is the most innocuous city dwelling animal? Something that you're going to see all the time. You're not going to shoo it out of the room. Ooh. You're really not going to care. I mean, if Lemley had a spy camera on her right now, we'd all be fucked. So I'm going to go with your standard domestic house cat as number mm-hmm. one. Like, they're in every city. They're
so smart.
They're
not smart. Dumb.
They're everywhere, man. It's just the most innocuous creature. You're just like, as a cat.
No. It's not smart. Hold on. Before I get into why it's not smart, does he have a second pick in the snake draft?
No.
Or is that
still not how it works?
This is not smart. How are you going to get these? So what, are you going to breed the cats? Are you going to create these cats?
How
and then
are
have
you
going to
get cameras inside
head in?
Lice, idiot?
That doesn't matter. No, I'm not saying we never discussed that. Any animal can have it in. What I'm saying, though, is that head lice, nobody has to give them permission to come into places.
No adults have head lice.
Needs to be allowed.
You're spying on
needs
fifth
to be
graders.
Allowed into a room. Listen to me. Head lice can fucking live in couch fibers. They can live in your asshole. You'll never even know. I'll have one go. It's not like I have to have an infestation everywhere I go.
Understand
just need one.
Right now. What you're saying.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
Logical.
Are you just going to release cats with cameras out into the world?
Yes.
Or do people have to actually take these animals in?
Yes.
It's not like. What are you going to be spying on alleys, dumpsters?
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly
I just don't
doing.
Get it.
Where does shady, nefarious activity take place? In back alleys, in dark corners, near dumpsters. Have you ever seen a movie? Ever. Ever.
Fine.
Everything
happens
next
to a dumpster. Your methodology is to bust low-level fucking heroin addicts in the alley. That's
so
fine.
Launch codes. I'm not even going to know what to do with them.
All right, Pat, stop Googling and give us an answer.
Anyway, so only 6 million people per year get head lice. There are 96 million domestic cats in the United States.
Boom.
So anyway, good pick, Forrest.
It's nonsense. Okay, so go on.
I am going to start out. Usually what I like to do is I like to do my job first, and then I like to get weird at the end.
Mm.
Okay. I'm going to start with getting a bit weird. So I'm going to use bed bugs because I want to see what people are doing in the bed. I want to watch them have sex, and I'm going to sell this information and this video to Pornhub.
That's
I'm
going to
make a little bit of extra cash on the government teat. You know what I mean? So bed bugs to start. Because they're in the most, that's where you talk. That's where you say stuff.
It's true.
Like if you're like, hey, I'm plotting to kill Biden, you're going to whisper it to your wife during sex.
Peter feels like just ripping him off right now. He's so upset.
A little bit.
It's not even that. It's not the bed bug pick, even though that was my great answer from our attack insects or whatever. But
great.
The point is, fucking bed bugs. I'll give you this. They're hard to get rid of. So they'll be very difficult to get rid of. But my problem with this is that we are not fucking, we're not in this to make money. We're in this to convince the CIA to fucking promote us and be the leader of the team, to have the clearance codes, everything. You're out looking for money. It's fine.
Yeah. Whatever. So I'm going to make some money. I'm going to get some good porn. And then what I'm going to do is now I'm going to focus on really getting the bad guys.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Now,
all right. Well, all right. I guess that's fair if you got a plan.
Yeah. So I'm gonna go after the
my next
guys.
Pick.
No.
It's not your turn. How do you still not get how this works?
It's crazy.
What are you talking about? I didn't say anything.
All right. So there's a lot of bad stuff going.
Talking
on.
To the mic.
There's a lot of bad stuff going on with cattle ranchers. I feel like you have standoffs with the ATF. Like cattle ranchers are into a lot of nefarious activity. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to put cameras inside every cow in the United States. Because there's a lot of them.
There's a lot.
That's all I have to say. It's not that great, but that's I will win with this.
No, you stole my approach there. So I was going to go with a different domestic ant. You know what? Fuck it. I'll just still go with it.
Yeah.
So where are the most inconspicuous criminals coming from? Everybody knows the answer to this. It's New Zealand.
Yes.
Why?
Okay.
Of course.
That's known.
It's known. Okay. What does every person from New Zealand do? They have sex with sheep, right? That's where the term sheep shagger comes from. This is a known thing. It's a fact. So while all these, you know, billionaire evil geniuses are plowing sheep, they're going to get called out because I got spy sheep down there in New Zealand, and my spy sheep are not only are they going to catch all of this, but they're going to be able to deliver footage to me of them getting banged by a bad guy. Well, then me as the CIA can leverage against them being like, hey,
that's interesting.
I know you're evil, but you just plowed a sheep. So if you really want to launch those nukes, the whole world's going to know that you fucked a sheep. Okay. So, you know, you make your decision now, evil Kiwi New Zealand guy, bestiality guy. Are you going to do this or is YouTube going to see you plowing a sheep? That's my number two.
That's smart, and that is really effective.
A lot of facts being dropped in now. A lot of bad New Zealanders. A lot of sheep shagging.
You know, it did give me a new perspective on Pat's pick, which previously I thought was terrible, but it's growing on me because bed bugs might be able to give you the evidence you need to blackmail many a high-level member of society. So, but I mean, I thought of that. You didn't. You eventually would have, but I thought of
that. So you're up for two now, Peter. That's how a snake draft always will work in the future, including now and always then.
Can you quiet down? All right. My next pick, I've thought about this a lot over the last 2.5 minutes, will be the common ground squirrel. That's right. They are elusive. They fucking are versatile as fuck. If there are trees, there are squirrels. And I'll tell you this much. You ain't fucking paying a goddamn mind to them if they're running around. You're like, it's a fucking squirrel.
Right.
So my squirrels will be peeping in windows.
Transport your army of lice. They can also transport your army of robot lice anywhere they want to go.
Oh,
he already knew lice, that.
That is beautiful.
Lice just can't move on their own. They're getting moved around by your robot squirrels.
Listen, we are working together now. I feel like we'll be able to sell us as a team to the CIA rather than just
I've got the cows. No way.
Well, you'll be kicked out because you are just trying to make money as usual. My third pick on this round is going to be very common creature, and I feel like this is going to give me a big edge because there's a lot of aquatic machinery that's coming into the forefront, and of course it needs to be monitored. Nuclear submarines, you have Russia off the coast of fucking in the Atlantic Ocean right over there. Plankton is going to be my third and final spy bot. So I'll have lice, I'll have ground squirrels, and I'll have plankton.
Can't fit a camera in plankton. Chorus, what are you going to do? Now that he's lost, what are you thinking?
You're lost in life and this competition, mate.
I thought you were going to go with something cool like a fucking spy dolphin or spy orca.
I wanted to go with herpes again. But I already used that.
I was going to go, and then you're like, you know what? All these things happen in the ocean. Spy plankton.
Dude, whatever. Come on. What am I supposed to pick? Footage. Krill? All the krill are busy taking down battleships, apparently, from Pat's last other battle royale.
That was a good one.
All right.
Oh boy, okay. Where are we going with this? We got all the evil sheep shaggers. We got all the people doing back alley deals from spy cats. I'm thinking, you know, the one that we're missing that's really hitting everybody on the nose right now, spy tigers. Why? Because Joe Exotic's trading
spigers.
Them. Doc Antle's trading them. These tigers aren't, nothing good is happening with tigers in the world right now, people. Like, if you own a tiger, you're shady as fuck. Like, if you own a tiger, you're doing illegal things. You just are. You're not a nice guy with a pet tiger. Mm-hmm. You're just not. So I got spy tigers on my team because they're being traded every time a spy tiger gets sold. That's it.
It's disappointing.
Nope, that's what's up.
No.
Spy tiger.
Look, we could all go with what's the most commonly distributed thing, but Forrest and I, having some knowledge of how the world works, are picking animals.
An endangered animal? You think people aren't going to notice a fucking tiger? Where are you going to put this tiger? Nowhere in North America.
In the zoo. No, like
where all the crime gets done.
Well, no, like creepy, like oil executive in Texas who has a bunch of tigers. It's like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You
know, high level. Okay. All right. You're changing me a little bit. You're changing my perspective.
Yeah, high level guy.
All right.
You're not
getting
it.
I'll give you that.
Joe Exotic, done.
I got it.
Mental, done. Mike Tyson, he has a tiger. What's he doing with it? You know?
Very high level. Very high level.
We don't know.
We don't know.
So, I'm going to go real basic bitch on this one because I have to. Because I want to win.
Okay.
I need to spy on as many people as I can. And the types of people that I want to spy on are, I want to spy on just your average Joe. So I've got my bed bugs, which are getting me into like the real shitholes.
Yep.
Right? Because
seeing all the sex.
People don't have bed bugs.
Getting all the pedophiles.
Yeah.
So I'm going to spy on them like that. I'm going to spy on the ranchers with my cattle. And then I'm going to spy on the average Joe, middle class household. Because I want to know what you're up to and what you're plotting. I'm putting it. And you're just average-ass domestic dog.
Yep.
Because when you talk to a dog, you look them in the eyes. It's one of the only animals that you will grab their face and go, and I want you to go, hi, Rufus. I'm evading taxes. And so I want to have you caught on camera looking into the camera. So I'm going dogs.
We got to wrap this up, so I'm not going to go into a diatribe about how fucking stupid that is.
No, I'm going to make a big Italian meal. I went to a farmer's market. I got homemade lemon linguine. I got fucking homemade burrata. Four heirloom tomatoes, baby. I got habanero olive oil that the guy said is so spicy it'll just your dick will fall off. I'm excited about this. Let's do it.
All right.
Pat, Forrest, what should everybody do to tell me that I won this
week? Listeners, if you enjoyed any part of this podcast, or if you hated it, you can let us know either way. Either's chill. You know, let us know. Go and vote. Go to the Wild Times Pod on iTunes. Leave us a 5-star review. Let us know, did Peter's army of spy lice, squirrels, and don't forget plankton win the battle royale this week? Is Patrick going to take over the CIA with his bed bugs, his cows, which obviously there's a lot of bad ranchers out there, or Rufus, the spy dog? Or is everybody's favorite broologist going to take down all these back alley shady dealers with the domestic cat, all the sheep shaggers in New Zealand, and all these people trading tigers? Because there's a lot of them out there. We're finding this out. Netflix has proven it. Go on to
taking down all the high level.
Right, we're hitting it all. Go on to follow us on social media. Subscribe on YouTube, please.
What about YouTube? Yeah, what's our? How do people find us on YouTube? What do they type in?
So YouTube, just search, honestly, go to Google or your search engine of choice, The Wild Times Podcast, YouTube. Also, our actual channel.
These are all on video. I don't know if we talk about this enough. So we record all these on video. You can see us. You can see our guests. You can see Forrest's cool artifacts. You can see the dumpster that Peter lives in. You can see my beautiful artistic.
See this guitar right here? It's worth more than your life. Sure. But the real place that everybody should go, where all of the links are and always will be, is thewildtimespodcast.com/info. And that's where you can find the link to the YouTube. You can find the link to the Instagram, everything at Wild Times Pod on all the social media channels.
Thank you guys. Follow us, check us out. But before we say goodnight, Peter, this is how bad you are on our social channels. People are starting to ask me where the fucking merch is. What's up with that?
I know.
What's going on? When are we getting shirts? When
it's ready.
When are we getting bro?
Listen, I swear to God, I promise fucking this week. I'm not going to fucking play the sympathy card. Yes, I am. The tinnitus, I had a panic attack last week. It's ready to go.
I had a panic attack.
These guys don't do shit. They just come to the podcast, record. I got to edit it, put it out. But the merch is ready to go. We've approved it. These two have looked at it. They love it.
It's
coming out
this
week. By the
way, there is a t-shirt that's going to be available that features a blobfish that is legitimately, I'm like, if this isn't the most worn t-shirt in America, I'll kill myself. It's so fucking cool. So I can take no credit for it. Peter designed the whole thing. Yes, it's awesome. It's
so good. I would buy it. If I walked into a store and saw it, I'd be like, I'm getting that shirt. Like there's no
sam.
And when you,
I swear to God,
you
this
drop
week.
That shit, we're all getting together. We're gonna put them on. We're gonna sit in a room. We're gonna get drunk together and do a live podcast together. Because this COVID shit's getting old. So we got to get back together, do this the right way, and watch us on YouTube do it. Right, guys?
Hell fucking yes. Let's do it. Love you guys. Fuck off, Peter.
Good night.